Hello and welcome, Season 3, Episode 3 of the Canuck Crosscast. Today we are joined by first-time guest somehow, Megley Rochette, and she's going to help Jen and I break down Nationals. We're going to talk a little bit about Megley's season and why she's not at Nationals this year, her decision behind that. But the folks today will for sure be Canadian Nationals and kind of running down what the course is like or what we know of it and who the favorites are. Megley, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited. It's fun to chat with you guys.
And for those of you who don't know, Megley also has her own podcast. Or is it two podcasts? Are Fever Talk and Muddy Mondays the same? Okay.
It's all the same. Yeah, it's all the same. It's all under Fever Talk, but on the Mondays, it's a special. I mean, there was this whole grand plan of having one every Monday after every race weekend, but I didn't race all year. So it's kind of a flop, but it will pick up as the season goes on for me.
And you've had some really awesome guests, like I think you had, did you have both Puck and Sheeran at different points on the podcast?
Yeah. Yep. I had Puck, I had Sheeran, I had Ailey Azerbit recently, who he was really cool to talk to. I didn't know him much, but he was like really smart and really, really fun to chat to and get to know him.
Yeah, it's been, the racing this year in Europe has been like so phenomenal to watch with those three U23s kind of coming up. And then like, I mean, Eli didn't have the best race, but like, I don't know if you guys watched the race on Sunday. It was wild watching Pidcock trying to chase down Michael Vanternoot. Like, wow. One of the best races I've seen.
Haven't gotten to the men's race yet, but I was just watching the women's race to try and get technique tips.
Yeah, whatever Puk Peeters is doing, just do that. Just, yeah, exactly. That's what you need to do. But yeah, that men's race, like, Pidcock was clearly, he was like, I'm either going to win this race or I'm just going to like KO myself going for it. And I don't know, I guess I just haven't seen someone race like that in a while. But the way he was hucking himself into those ruts, I feel like as someone, like as all three of us who have raced cross a lot, I was like, holy crap, that looks scary. He's going to like, I can't believe how fast he's going.
He's impressive to watch on a bike. I mean, that guy's crazy. I haven't watched a race because I was at the airport before traveling, but I kept refreshing the Twitter feed because I could see like how he was coming back from last place. And I was like, oh my God, it's just crazy. So I want to watch him because he's phenomenal to watch for sure.
I think watching anybody ride like with that level of like commitment, and it's like, I see it in like watching like more gravity mountain bike racing now, is like the level of commitment to like technical aspects of the course, it just makes it seem like just a whole nother sport. Like how they ride the bike, it's kind of crazy. And you wonder, it's like, is this actually a technical skill or is it like rooted more in the confidence rather than the actual physical ability?
Both? I'm not sure.
I think so much of it's confidence and like absence of fear or just like acceptance of fear of there being any real consequence.
Yeah. I think you're right. But then you need to have the skills to match it, because otherwise, like, there's no, you know, I think like one of the things is when you let go of fear and you go full gas, you have to be confident that you'll react well to whatever comes your way and that you'll be able to do it quick. But I think to be able to do that, you need to really have the skills to make those decisions quickly and adapt like what you're doing to what's coming at you so fast. So
you have to be sufficiently skilled for your confidence level.
Yeah.
Megley, have you and Dave had to change, like, the level of technical riding in the women's field? It feels like it's just skyrocketed in the past 3 years. Have you had to change the way that you approach that part of the training at all to kind of account for that?
I don't think necessarily change. I think, like, what we've been doing is always, like, working a lot on the basics. So I do, like, there's a set of drills that I do, and I do them really, really often to make sure that it really becomes second nature. I think like once those are acquired, it's really on, I mean, what Jen was saying, like accepting doing them faster and taking more risks. So I think like that's where it's changing a little bit. But now, like, I mean, I used to do it a lot a few years ago. Like I was practicing bunny hopping the barriers, but at some point I was like, well, I'm not really doing it in races because I don't feel like it's faster. But I think now I've picked that up again because it seems like a lot more people are doing it and doing it better, so that it is faster once in a while. So yeah, in that sense a little bit.
Yeah, it's just I guess it's just been so impressive to watch some of those U23 riders, and they have each, like, Femme, Sheeran and Puk have different skill sets, but they're all so good at what mm-hmm. at like all of the basics. You can tell that I guess there's just like a certain amount of bike literacy with starting out earlier. And I know a number of those athletes came from different backgrounds, but it's like
general athleticism, I think, is a huge part of it. Like they're not just cyclists, like they're athletic. They can move, like you said, like bike literacy, but just physical literacy. Like you can see it in how people get on and off the bike, move around the bike. Like their bike body separation is good.
Did you see Femme's soccer skills? Pretty impressive.
I saw the little clip.
Sheesh.
I haven't seen that clip. I'll go check it out. I knew she was a soccer player before, but I haven't seen that clip.
Yeah, she made everyone else. She was multiple hundreds of times better than anyone else they did in that clip. Like, no one else could really juggle the ball, and she's, like, throwing down.
She was in running shoes, though, too, and a lot of people were in riding shoes, so I think that there's a little bit there.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, and... yeah, but I think, like... I think you're right, like, athleticism, but also, I think, being raised in the sport at that level, like, you know how we go to our U.S. Cups, like, for them, the U.S. Cups that we go to, like, it's the races where everyone is. So, from the age of 16, they've been racing these people. And I think, for me, like, the biggest difference, because when it's muddy, I honestly don't really see the difference in, I mean... Maybe like a section will be done better by someone else, but I don't feel like I'm losing that much time. Where I feel like I'm losing is like following closely on really fast and technical races. Like I don't really train with a lot of people just because I don't live next to anyone that I could do that with. And I feel like that's something that I miss. I'm not as good at. Like I'm following and then I feel like if I don't see where I'm going, like I can't take that curve as fast, you know? So that's something that I need to work on. And I mean, my goal this year being in Europe is like, since I'm actually working on my fitness and building up and training, I want to train more with people. So I actually wrote to Shirin because she lives close to here. And I wrote to like a few other riders to like make sure that to ask if I could train with them. And I think like that's a way that kind of joining group cross practices can help me. And that's one thing, Mike, that I think I really need to improve because I'm just not at the level right now.
And that's the thing they do so well in Belgium and the Netherlands is those group training sessions. Like I've gone a handful of times to Lichtart where they kind of have the permanent training grounds and like just seeing everyone riding there together. And I know there's other training sessions like that or a couple people who just get together. It's kind of one of those things. Jen and I have talked about this before in the podcast. It's like, I think sometimes we in North America, generalizing a little bit, treat cyclocross like just this endurance discipline where we go out and we do, you know, we do endurance miles and do our training and then come back. But in a lot of ways in Europe, it's like, okay, there's that element, but they also have like this very much like a team sport. You go to bike practice and work on these drills part that is tough to do here because of the distance between everyone, but it's also just like not really as much a part of the culture.
Mm-hmm. Totally. But I think like we would all be better for it if we were like in a culture that does that or in an environment that allows for that a little bit better. So yeah, I mean, that's one thing. And I guess like one of the, I guess I could have gone other years, you know, while we're here, I'm here like 3 months of the year straight. So like, there's no excuse why I wouldn't go, but I guess I haven't really made the effort to go, kind of because of the mindset that you just talked about. Like I do my own training. I do like my intervals, blah, blah. And like, I'm good. Once in a while when Clara was living next to me, like we would do it together, but I never made the effort of like, let's say Shirin, you know, she lives 20 kilometers away, like 30 minutes, but I never made the effort to drive 30 minutes. Like, I don't know why, but I should, you know, like it's 30 minutes. Who cares? Like, it's going to be a good training. It's going to make the week more exciting and I'll get better. And like, 30 minutes of driving. So
it's just like, we have these like known quantities in our training. We have our building blocks that we've already selected. So like anytime introducing something new, it's like you have to give up something you already have control of. So that can be a little bit difficult. And yeah, I think that like at a club level, you often, if you have a club that does cross, you'll see that the kids practice together quite a bit. And often those kids are like extremely fast and very competitive in races.
I mean, I think we have a prime example racing nationals this weekend being Ian and Ava and Isabella, right?
Totally.
They all came out of a club format that I think kind of mimics a lot of what's going on in Belgium. And they're all, I guess you can't have, yeah, they're all favorites to win their races, even though two of them are in the same category, Ava and Isabella. And it's like, that's no small part, and because they've been like chasing each other, and the club is bigger than that as well, but like that structure's existed.
They're kind of the standout, you know, ones we're seeing excelling right now, but there have been more than half a dozen kind of in a similar age bracket, maybe a little bit older, who have raced in Europe, raced at the World Cups, raced at World Championships over the past couple of years.
Yep.
Yeah. Totally. It was one thing that was really cool is in between Really Rad and Northampton, Stephen Hyde, who's now one of the U.S. national coaches, got together a big training group, and he was kind enough to invite myself and Cody, another Canadian, out. And there was like 20 of us athletes out there training in the middle of the week in the sand pit they have in Northampton. It was awesome. Like, we're doing these like minute, 2 minute long efforts. Like, sometimes you crash because you're trying to take a corner too fast. Sometimes you like hook your elbow into someone and get around them. And it's like taking these experiences that you might only get once or twice a race and condensing them into these super short formats. So it's like in one training session, you're having like 15 race winning type efforts where you're trying out different stuff and failing on half of them. And that was just really cool to see that. It's like, oh, this is the way, if you want to learn how to win a race or learn how to pass someone in a corner or see how quick you can go, like, you got to have these situations where you can mess it up at least half the time.
Yep. Yeah, because imagine otherwise, like, having that scenario only in a race and you're going to mess up half the time, that's like a full season that you're going to mess up before you actually get it. So like condensing it in a training session, when you think about it, it's like a no-brainer, you know?
It was hilarious. Like, we were crashing all over the place. Like, I like tried to chop the entire field in one corner and you slide out and like slide into everyone. It's like, well, people would be pissed if you do that in the race, but in training session, it's like, whatever, keep going.
But then it also normalizes your ability to like just get up and keep going from that and not be like shaken up. If that were to happen in a race, where then you're like, oh, it's over, it's gone. You're like, it's normal in a training session. You don't quit your training session because you made a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a little sidetracked here. So backing up a second, Megali, you're in Europe right now. You've chosen not to race cyclocross nationals. And I think there was an article pretty recently, it was on Canadian Cycling Mag, right? That kind of explained that. But maybe really briefly, can you walk us through, I guess you've probably rehashed it 1,000 times different people, but your season so far, and then the decision behind heading to Europe right now, and what's behind that?
Yeah, so this year, I mean, I've been struggling, honestly, with my health since this summer. When I look back at it, I think it started when I was in Albstadt in the month of May. Like, I really felt like shit and super tired and always really heavy legs. But I thought at that point, I hadn't really taken a break from cross season. So I thought that was just kind of the end of it, So took a break then, but it kind of never came back. The whole summer, I felt like I was running after my own tail. Like, my legs always felt heavy. I never felt great. But I kind of thought like, oh, if maybe I'm just not fit enough, so I'll train more and it will come back. Then I got COVID in early July. And I think that's the one obstacle that my body just couldn't overcome. So again, I mean, after a week, I felt fine. So I started training. But it never got back. Like, I felt like a total piece of shit. And it took, it just got worse and worse and worse because I still wanted to race cross. So I kept trying. But then at some point, it got to a point where as soon as I made some effort, my muscles felt really, really weak and I was getting dizzy. So at some point, I was like, okay, like, I'm not going anywhere. So it was too much. Yeah. So I pulled the plug and I did a bunch of blood tests. And what happened is, I think it was like over fatigued, just super fatigued. And then I COVID kind of made it worse. But in my blood test, you could see that I had almost no more white blood cells and my hematocrit was gone really, really low. And what the doctors explained to me is probably my body's been fighting an infection for a really long time, but so long that at some point there's no more white blood cells to do the job. And then your body goes and digs into your muscles to be able to keep fighting. So anyway, it was a bad place. Took a break. I took, I guess, a month and a half off, and then I started training again. So here we are. I mean, I raced really rad. I feel good now. I'm feeling healthy and I'm slowly getting back into form. But then I was struggling to decide whether I would go to Nationals or not. I want to go. I wanted to go because it's one of the best races of the year. We didn't have it for 2 years, and I was just looking forward to be there. And I mean, I have been a national champion for the last, ever since we had it the last time, so the last 3 years. And I don't know, I feel proud to represent Canada in cyclocross especially, so I wanted to defend that title or try at least. But yeah, I decided not to go because since my health has not been great, I mean, I'm better now, but I'm still fragile, I would say. Like, it doesn't take much for me to get like tired again, so I have to be really careful with how I do things. And so traveling to the West Coast and then coming back and then going to Europe felt to me like maybe too much to ask for to my body at this point in time. It would all have been like pretty close to each other too, and like traveling to Victoria, it's not even one flight, it's two flights, and then it makes the jet lag even bigger, like the time difference even bigger when you go to Europe again. So I just chose to not ask too much of my body and just put all my eggs in one basket, which was, okay, I'll do one flight to Europe and then start my season from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense, right? Is like, as a West Coast based person, I'm pumped that Nationals are out here, but I know how hard that 3 hour time difference is, and also how hard it is to travel from here to Europe. It's 9 hours instead of six, and it's two flights instead of one. It's no small feat. So I think, yeah, we'd love to have you here, but it makes sense.
I think like any other year, I would have made the trip, you know, and just kind of delayed my European season. But this year, I mean, everything has been so shaky already that I feel like I have to really be respectful with my body and my like energy levels. So I don't want to do like that one bit too much that seems like nothing normally, but that I don't know if I could get over this time. So mm-hmm. That's kind of why. Yeah.
Now we are guaranteed to have a new elite women's national champion, I think. I don't know if there's anyone in the field who has won before, right?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, ever since I've been racing, the one person that did it, I mean, Christelle Ferrier-Bruneau is kind of the last one.
And Michael Dick before that, right?
Yeah, Michael Dick before that. But I'm thinking like the last maybe 5 years, like she would be the one in 2017, I think. And she's not racing, so...
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, maybe let's spin into the breaking down who is racing in the elite women's field. So the other notable absence, I guess, would be Sydney McGill, who is just coming off of second place at Pan Am Championships, a really awesome ride for her. And I think she made a similar decision along the lines of yours, where she decided to head back to Europe. I know in Sydney's case, she's trying to race all of the World Cups. So she's doing a pretty busy season that way. And I mean, unfortunately, our national championships overlap with the World Cup, and that's just the nature of them being in November instead of January. And for most athletes, that wasn't going to race that World Cup anyways, not that big of a deal. But I think in Sydney's case, that's her season goal. So she's out there as well and racing this upcoming weekend, but in Europe. So who is in the field is Jen, sitting over here.
Who, by the way, I mean... brought a good battle the last time we had Nationals, so that was a fun one.
It was a good battle.
Should we pile on the pressure here, Jen? Yeah, let's just pile the pressure on Jen here. Favorite Nationals favorite, Jen Jackson.
I mean, I'm reigning vice champion, so like, I'll do my best. But that was 3 years ago.
Yeah,
is that's insane? Crazy. Like,
yep.
I basically haven't raced like a UCI cross race in 3 years, but.
How are you feeling though? Like how's your training been? Like how do you feel heading into Nationals? Did you prepare for it, or is it just something that it's close to home so you're doing it? How do you see it?
Yes. Both. Like I'm, because it's here in BC and this is where I've been doing most of my training, like I was for sure going to plan to do it like the last 2 years as well. And like my training, it's been like I've been like planning to race, and like it's been pretty general training, but not like with any level of high specificity and like drilling it into me. It's still like, okay, I'll do intervals a couple times a week, and I try to do them on my cross bike even if it's just on the road. And yeah, it's like my mind is there, but it's not because I haven't been able to like build momentum through like competitive races. Like I've done some local stuff, but it's mostly to get onto a track, have race tape, and like that's where I get most of my skill practice, because like you need tape and you need like a course to get like good practice in, and I don't really have a course here on the island where I'm training right now. So it's been really fun though, like just having in mind I'm gonna show up to like a pretty big race. I'm like decently fit, but it's also like shot in the dark because no one who's showing up has been like, we haven't really tested ourselves against each other. So it's kind of like a fun, who knows, like Rupi's coming off the track on some good form. Sandra's been racing mainland cyclocross. I've been racing a bit of island cross. And then I'm not even sure, like, I'm sure there'll be a few other women who have been racing island cross here.
The only person who...
It could be a really small field.
I think it will probably be a fairly small field. But interesting, like the person who's actually raced UCI racing is Holly Henry, who showed up at Pan Am. So there's... I think it's wide open.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm throwing in one wild card here, who is not registered yet, but who I've talked to and I know is going to race. Ava Holmgren. She is racing elite this year.
She is racing elite. I texted Rob.
She is racing elite.
So I texted Rob today.
I mean,
trying to figure out if that was the case.
I asked her if I could say it. I asked her if I could say it on the podcast, and she said yes. So she's not registered yet, but she was able to upgrade. And honestly, she's been really, really great, like racing really fast. So I think watch out for Ava. I think she's going to be pretty good.
Like, I've been looking out for Ava since I did my first bike race in like
2016,
when she was literally 12 years old. It was like my first race was like a hardwood local cross race, and she and Izzy are like 11, 12 years old, and I am just racing for my life.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, they're really good riders, and I mean, both of them, like Bella and Ava, have been doing really good on the Junior World Cup races. So I think I've talked to them, and I know Bella is choosing to stay in the junior category, but Ava wanted a chance to upgrade. And I think, like, she didn't tell me exactly the reason. I think she was excited about the challenge, but also, like, she's already the Pan American junior champion. So even if she won nationals, she couldn't even wear the jersey. So I think she's, like, trying out in the elite instead. So I think that's pretty cool.
And an opportunity to get more UCI points, which would help her.
Probably. Yeah,
at other races too. There's a lot more points in the elite race.
I mean, and she also only has half a year left of being a junior. And if she wins the, like, she could have, I guess, gone and raced U23 women's, but you don't really ever get to wear those jerseys. If she goes and she does end up winning elite women's, she gets to wear that jersey next year until November, right? In all of the races she does, which is, I can see the draw of that. That's pretty cool. And I had the chance to watch, she raced Northampton, I guess a week ago, and Lawashter come like painfully close to winning that race. It was Cody and I were on the sidelines, like yelling our heads off. We found a Canadian flag and a stick, and we were like running around the course. Really good race prep. We were running around the course cheering her on, and she was like, I thought she had it until she didn't. It was such a good race to watch though. And I think she showed that she had, like, she made all the right moves in that one. So watch out, Jen. She's coming.
Oh, I mean, like, honestly, if she's been racing, like, she's coming in, she has to come into this as, like, the favorite. Like, if we're being honest, she's been doing the most competitive racing at the highest level and the most of it. Like, to be frank, Sandra, Rubi, and I are coming into this from, like, we're just showing up.
We don't know.
To see how it goes. So it's going to be really exciting for all of us. Like, there's not really any narrative going into this race of, like, this is the rivalry, this is how people stack up. Because it's just like shooting in the dark. We're all coming from such different spaces, which is kind of cool. But
yeah,
it will be just fun.
It will be fun. I mean, I'll definitely be watching. I mean, if we can, like, or I'll be following the live timing, probably with the biggest FOMO ever. But still, I'll be having fun cheering on you all. Mike, now, like, How do you feel? Like, you've been, how many times national champion are you?
I won 3 times in a row now. And then I guess I've been the national champion for 5 years now, which is like weird to think about.
We kind of got the biggest, like the the biggest nationals prize, like a 3 year in a row thing. One race, 3 years.
Yes, but I kind of hate it at the same time, you know? Like, I would have rather just gone out and tried to win those national titles.
I agree.
But yeah, I know. It feels like I haven't had to... Like, you try not to have these thoughts, but I was riding around in my kit today and being like, well, shoot, like, I might not be able to wear this next week for the first time in forever. Which was just a bizarre thought, because like you said, it's been so long since I've even had to think about it. It's just been like... This is my national champions jersey. That's my kit. That's what I wear. But yeah, I think there actually has a narrative has maybe formed around the elite men's race in a way that we haven't had in a few years. Just in the last few weeks, I would say my biggest competition is probably Gunner. I've got my own Holmgren to worry about.
Darn kids.
Yeah.
Tyler Orishel.
Yeah, Tyler Orishel. Well. Exactly. And then Tyler Orishel showed up and got a couple second places in North Carolina. Tyler Clark has raced the most cross of anyone, I guess, maybe except for myself, and has had a really Brody. Solid season. And yeah, and then there's Sanders. Those wild cards like Brody. I'm not sure if we're missing anyone here, but...
I'd say that those are the people who, like, I've, like, from watching the races and watching the results, have kind of been... punching in at a really high level, like being competitive at a lot of the same races, and have their who are going to show up and have their eyes like on a podium and the win.
I think, okay, I was just going to say, I mean, two things. Gunner, I think, like, we've kind of forgotten him the last couple of years because he hasn't raced cross much the last year or so, but like, we can't forget that the guy's been to Belgium a few years. He had some great results in the juniors and under 23 categories. So, like, and now, like, he did super well at Northampton last week. So, definitely, I think he's going to be one to watch. But also, what about the Deceras? Are they racing, Peter and Quinton?
Peter, I do not think, is racing. And Quinton, I talked to him yesterday, and he's trying to find tires for his bike because he doesn't have clincher 33s. So, okay. I think if they show up, I don't. Like, as much as they race at a high level on the mountain bike, I'm not sure that they'll be in the same bracket for this race we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. They usually, I wonder if there'll be any other mountain biker enduro racers coming out of the woodwork here, Jen? What's the inside scoop?
I mean, they all talked it up, and then the weather changed, and then they have gone radio silence. But often there's a couple riders from Quebec. Like, I'm not sure, I haven't heard anything from, like, Marc-André Fortier or, like, Raph Auclair, if they might be coming out. Because in the past, they've seen podiums at cross nationals as well.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And Mike, how are you feeling? Like, how are you mentally, like, going into the race? How are you physically? Like, do you feel like the form's in a good place? Or do you feel like after the big cross-country trip you just did, like, how are you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel in a lot of ways like this is the toughest competition I've had going into nationals, or at least the toughest competition I've known about going into nationals. And it's a different situation in a lot of ways. Like, I'm going in and I am planning on winning again. If that's something you can do, but very aware.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you have to do.
Yeah. Like, I'm planning on winning again, but I'm also very aware that, like, it's going to be harder than it's been. But I'm kind of excited about that. Like, I'm not going to lie. I went in a couple years. Or 1 year anyways, not knowing who the competition was. And it was actually really hard going in being like, well, if I don't mess up, I should win this thing. And I didn't love that mentality. Like, it actually made it tough to get the most out of myself. Whereas going into this year, it's like, if I win, it's going to take the right day, and it's going to feel like everything's going to have to go right, and it's going to take everything I have, but it's going to feel all the better if I pull it off. And I guess I mean, I like that. I feel good about that. Like, and I'm also aware that I could have a good day and everything go right and it might just not work out. But.
And on the other side of the coin, you could have a bad day, and because it means a lot to you, still fight through that because you don't want to lose. You do not want to lose this jersey. Like you said a few minutes ago, like, you are national. You see yourself as the national champion. You've worn that jersey for like half a decade. and you're like, this is who I am. So like, you don't want to lose. As much as you want to win, you don't want to lose.
I haven't been this fired up for a race in a long time. Like, I was going out and I just had a couple, I had a workout the other day and I was like, sorry, Gunner. I was imagining like basically taking Gunner into the tape in order to win the final sprint. And I was like, okay, maybe I won't crash him out, but like, I'm ready to race. Like, I want this badly. And I feel like if I, like I said, if I win, it'll be sweeter than the rest because, you know, I'm getting older. I'm 30 now. There's like all these younger riders coming up who like also want to win, but, you know, I'm not going to roll over and without a fight.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good mindset to have. Like, I mean, the last time that I won nationals was also like kind of the, I mean, I had been the best Canadian in cyclocross at that point, like that season, but I knew like everybody wants to win nationals. So like even though maybe you're the favorite, you still have to keep in mind, like, as you said, like you want to race as if you're going to win because you want to win so badly, but also like we have to keep in mind, like I knew that Jen would show up and like with fire in her eyes and like knives in her teeth. Like I knew that she also wanted to win, you know? So I knew that it was going to be like a super tough battle. And I think knowing that and like knowing that Gunner is going to be there makes your race better, because if you show up thinking you might win and then someone like is strong and you have to work harder than you thought, then suddenly like your brain starts panicking, and that's never a good place to be in. So I think like you're in a really good position where like, yes, you want to win, but you're realistic with what's going on. And also like I always like to remind myself in a race like that, in a battle like that, it's that you only have to win on the finish line. Like, you don't have to win the whole race. And I've lost nationals because I didn't understand that before. So I think, like, knowing that, it's like, you only have to beat Gunner at the line. Or whoever it might be. Like, let's not just focus on Gunner. Like, it might be someone else. But I agree. Like, he's had a strong season for sure so far.
If Orshel listens to this, he'll be loving that he's the underdog. He'll just, like, it'll just add to the chip on his shoulder, eh, Jen?
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, it's like Meg just said, it's like it's the race to the end. Like you just don't want to let the race be decided against you in the first half. Like whatever happens in the first half of the race, it's not what decides the race. Like I remember last time we raced, Meg, like I went into that, I'm like, I'm racing for the win until I can't race for the win anymore. And hopefully that's at the finish. But it was like 2/3 of the race, we were like this.
Yeah, and like then it was kind of back and forth the whole time. Yeah.
And then I just made some mistakes and fell back. But like it was until that point, like neither of us knew what was going to happen. Yeah. And that's and like, that's fun racing.
It was such a fun race.
It was a sick race.
Yeah. And yeah. Now, like, I mean, looking at the conditions, like what are you both looking at? Like what do you prefer in terms of condition, and what do you think it's going to be?
You know,
I mean, I don't want to mess up the podcast if that's not where we are.
No, yet, that's where we are.
Okay.
I've actually had I have no idea what the conditions are going to do. It's raining. It looks like it's going to rain throughout the week, but it's been quite dry, very dry for the past, like, well, since the spring, really. So it's tough to know.
The rain we're getting now is pretty good. Like, this will saturate the ground.
Yeah, but is it going to be a proper muddy race? Is it going to be like slick over hard pack because we haven't had rain in so long? I don't know. And I used to think a lot about what the course conditions were going to be and what I wanted it to be. And there was a certain point when I was like, well, I can't do anything about it. Like, I'll show up and I'll figure it out. I would love if it was a little bit slick, but yeah, I'll show up and I'll figure it out.
One thing I am looking to is Michael to bring a third bike so that I could maybe borrow one to have in the pits, because I only own one bike. Just a little shout out to my pal over there.
I was going to bring one. You're in luck.
That would be, yeah, I'll send you a note. Yeah, will not be like a dry fast race. I just can't see that with like the forecasted weather, and it's going to be a new course. So like fresh grass, probably it could be in that way, get a bit just like messy if it's like longer grass or whatever, but it's going to be, I think that it's not going to be cold though, which is nice, like single digits, but not like sub-zero with snow like we've seen in years past.
I loved the first year we did Peterborough. I loved those conditions. Those were fantastic. When it was just like there was like snow around the course, but the course was kind of muddy and frozen. Although I'm saying that now, but I also remember like having to go and I got drug tested afterwards and just being like, hold up, guys. There's like the drug testing was like in this rugby house and there were showers. I was like, no, you have to wait. I am like freezing right now. I'm gonna like sit here and you can watch me shower as I'm shivering away in the corner. So maybe I don't want that. I don't know. But yeah, it looks like it'll be, I guess it's a pretty flat course. I talked to the organizer a little while ago about it. There's a disc golf section in one side, but I think it's just, like we said, it's one of those things that'll be what it is, right? Like you can only race the course in front of you. You can't, not every course is going to be Overijse or Namur or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, sometimes like a flatter course makes also for tighter racing, so it can make an interesting tactical race too. So I think each course has their own charm. So like there's something fun about each of them. So it will be fun to watch.
Did you win in Winnipeg, Magali? Like that was one of my favorite courses and there was not much elevation there.
Yeah, it was fun. I didn't win. I got second to Catherine Pendrell at that one. I was under 23 though, and they didn't have under 23 categories for women back then. So I got second and that's it. I didn't win the under 23. I was just second to Catherine. But yeah, it was a really fun course and really fun crowds too. That I love that one.
Yeah. So hopefully, yeah, I guess all that to say is I always think of like courses that places you wouldn't think would be able to hold this great cross race, like basically a, it's called the Forks in Winnipeg. I don't know how to describe it. There's not that much grass there. And it held an awesome track. And the races just, like, played out super interestingly. So, yeah. Sometimes it's not necessarily having these big epic courses that makes for good races, like you were saying before.
I think that sometimes big races, like, big courses can make for a spectacle. But then it also becomes the riders fighting the course rather than the racers racing each other. In some way
you end up with Wout winning what worlds was that, Valkenburg, where he won by like multiple minutes. It was just insane. Anyways, do we have any more to add to Nationals preview? Like I think probably the one race I also have an eye on that we haven't talked about at all is I think the U23 men's race will be really fascinating as well. There's a number.
I think Cody's going to be good.
Yeah, Cody, who I traveled with Cody all year. I think he has a good shot. Tyler Clark's brother, Owen, is out. There's probably like four or five people in that field who have been doing a bunch of the UCI races and all have a shot. And as much as it's stressful to be in one of these like wide open, who knows who's going to win fields, it's pretty exciting to look over and see that there's other ones where it's like you just don't, where there's no clear-cut favorite and you have no idea what's going to happen. It's... Yeah, it's cool.
Do you think...
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was just going to ask, do you think Ian Ackard will maybe race the under 23? I don't know.
I haven't heard anything like that.
Me neither. I'm just wondering. Like, because he's the same, like, last year junior, so maybe he's going to want to try and win the other one. I don't know.
It's my understanding that he... There's slightly different rules for junior women and junior men still. I think it's like a carryover from when there wasn't always junior women's races. I think he may not be allowed to.
I would just speculate they would be more reluctant to give him an upgrade because there's always a junior men's category. And again, he hasn't like necessarily rate. We don't actually know how fast he is compared to the under 23 and elite categories.
I don't think the UCI points transfer either. Like the women's ranking is all one ranking, right? And the junior men have a separate ranking right now. And I'm sure at some point... that will change if there's like consistently junior women's World Cups at every race and junior women's UCI races at every race. But right now there's a separate junior men's racing and there's not a separate junior women's ranking. So I would guess he's probably going to race junior men's, I guess all that to say. Yeah. Cause he hasn't had a chance to win one either. Like he's not the Pan Am champion. He hasn't ever got to race. I mean, a lot of the U23s too, they've never got to race nationals. So this is like Cody's racing his first U23 nationals, for example, and he's a third year U23.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that would be exciting for sure. I'm excited to follow that from afar.
Hopefully someone
does
actually like
have to wake up. You're gonna have to wake up in the morning and see the results though, because
oh, you're right, I'm gonna be missing out.
It'd
you're
be
right.
The middle of the night.
Yeah, okay, well I'll wake up with a surprise then.
Yeah.
I didn't even bring I didn't even race much with my national champion kit for this year, and it was a cool one.
I loved it. Looks
sick. When I received the kits at home, I was like, oh my God, like I have to do nationals. I can't not wear this. It's so nice. But then, yeah, then I didn't really race it. And I almost brought it to race on Saturday because, like, technically I'm still going to be national champion because it's like early in the day. Yeah, but then I didn't bring it. I thought like it would be fun to wear it one last time, but it's also more luggage for no reason. So
in kind of a funny oversight, when I ordered my kits this year, I don't have a long sleeve non-national championship skin suit. I was like, oh, I need these for summer. And I was like, and I was unpacking my stuff. I was like, oh crap, I only have a short sleeve skin suit. Like, I guess I'm wearing a base layer under this. And then if I don't end up winning, I'm going to be emailing Garneau being like, hey guys, so
I made a mistake.
You're going to have to give our friend Craig a call to bring you onto the race.
No, he doesn't even have it.
Craig Ritchie is the outsider.
Oh, that's right. Craig will race, or he'll race Masters.
Craig's been dominating Island. He's been dominating the Island Cross scene.
All right. We've started breaking down Masters racers. That's probably a good time to wrap it up. Sorry, Masters racers. Megali, where can people follow along and find you for your Europe trip?
They can find me on Instagram at magrush, but my name is complicated. There's an H, so it's MAGHROCH. And yeah, I'll be posting some news of the European cyclocross
and
trip.
Do you have a newsletter or anything like that that people can subscribe to?
I do. I have a newsletter. If you go to my website, which is magalirochette.com, the first page that pops up is subscribe to the newsletter. So that's how you can subscribe. And yeah, after each race, I'll send you within 24 hours of the race finishing, I'll send a newsletter with all the everything that went on into the weekend. So you can follow that if you want.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks for coming on and breaking down nationals. Jen, I'll
see
you. Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Yeah. Very welcome. Jen, I'll see you in like 2 days. Or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I won't
three
be there until Friday, but we'll see you. We'll chat more about getting maybe a loner bike for the pits in case it turns into a mud fest.
That's right. Yeah.
Best of luck to the two of you. I'll be cheering. And yeah, have fun out there.
And likewise to you.
Please say hi to everyone for me. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Max. Talk to you later.